Hello, everybody. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Hello, Sarah.
Hi there.
And hello, Chris.
All right.
Yeah, that's it. That is the thrilling three, everybody. Now, recently at the Oscars, we saw Will Smith get rather upset at a joke aimed at his wife by Chris Rock. Some say it was just a joke, but others say it was too insensitive. Today, we're asking this question. When does a joke go too far?
So I'm just going to dive straight in and sort of springing off the whole Chris Rock, heavy air quotes, joke situation. I think for me, that whole situation did throw up obviously a lot of stuff. And we won't go into it too much.
It's been covered by the time you're hearing this
podcast. You just don't need us to cover it amongst all the others. There's plenty out there, lads.
We've got a good run-up at it.
But I think what that definitely highlighted for me was I just don't think it's funny to make fun of people's health conditions. Mm. He was making fun of Jada Pinkett Smith, who has alopecia. Mm. He was making fun of her being bald. And I just don't think it's funny. Also, the joke was very lame. It just wasn't. It wasn't edgy. It wasn't witty. It
wasn't
just
one for the kids. G.I. Jane, was it?
Nope, certainly not.
No.
And so I just, and I, you know, I also say, you know, like I have been, I've had rather nasty jokes made about the way I look when I was younger. I remember I had terrible, terrible acne, and I remember jokes being told about my pizza face and things like that. And supposedly as a joke, supposedly in jest. But I just think if you're targeting something that like is an actual health problem for me, that's a no. That's not funny anymore. And so that's where I'm drawing the line, I'm afraid.
So is it, yeah, people often say if it's not a choice, you shouldn't joke at it. I've heard of quite a few people say that over the years and more recently. But then, and this is not a, please take this in the spirit it's intended. This is not in sort of relation to Jada Smith. But like men often will have a joke about other men being bald.
Mm.
And that's obviously not a choice. And I often think, especially if a man goes bald when they're younger, like it would be quite...
I don't think it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Well, Chris, what do you think? You know, the question we're asking, when does a joke go too far? Sarah's laid a firm foundation there.
There you go.
So what do you think, eh? You big ginger... Yeah. No, I'm just joking.
It's context, isn't it? I think that's what you're looking for, is the context. If it's a stand-up gig and it's comedy and there's banter with the audience, you kind of expect there to be a bit of to-ing and fro-ing. And I guess at the Oscars, she wasn't expecting
appearance. Chris Rock is hosting the Oscars. No one's expecting like personal jokes.
No, for sure. But I mean, and you know, there's been a lot of debate around whether he even knew or whether it was off the cuff, you know. Did he just think she'd had he shaved her head and he was taking the mick out of that or not? But
Chris Rock always scythes down everyone in the audience.
But it's one of the appeals. She wasn't there to see Chris Rock do comedy. She was there because it was the Oscars and her husband was nominated.
But my response was more Chris saying that she wasn't expecting anything. When Chris Rock, everyone knew he was hosting him.
But I don't think you're fair game.
I think for me, if you go to a comedy, I don't like going to comedy gigs because I know that they go at you. Do you know what I mean? So I'm fully aware if I go to a comedy gig, they will go for the audience.
No, I think the Oscars... You don't sit in the front row.
Yeah,
And Will Smith, they sat in the front row.
Yeah, because it was nominated.
It wasn't a comedy gig. I know that a comedian's presenting it, but the context is an award ceremony. Now, I'm interested in when these award ceremonies will start to become these places where you could get absolutely roasted. Mm. And obviously, Ricky Gervais is famous for it. Yeah. And I think up until now, you kind of just thought that's just par for the course. But this has brought up a bigger topic around, I guess, for me, is the context. Like, if you're going to go to a comedy gig, you know that you're going to get hammered. Then it's your own fault sometimes. I don't know.
Well, hang on, Chris. So there, if you enter a comedy gig, as you say, especially if you know the person. So take Jimmy Carr, for example. Recently did a joke about the Holocaust, and gypsies were the target of that joke, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, certainly everybody in this country would probably be aware of that. Some said, well, you know what you're getting with Jimmy Carr and his type of comedy. And the audience didn't seem that shy. I mean, a few gasps, but it was mainly laughter. Do you think, and I'm not, obviously you don't, you know, it is a joke. I understand you don't want to see nasty things done to any sort of sections of society. That goes until said otherwise, I'll go on that for the majority of people. But what do you think of that then? You could say, well, you know what Jimmy Carr's going to do. And some people did say that at the time.
So your point is it, can you say whatever you want in a comedy gig, in a comedy context?
Well, no, but that was your point. You were saying in a comedy context, if you go in, you should expect that...
I just think the seriousness of what we talk about with the Oscars is elevated because of the context.
So if you're saying the context is key, then therefore, if you're in a comedy club, are you saying anything's fair game?
No, not anything's fair game. But I think you as the audience member mm-hmm. have to be aware that they could start mocking something about you. Like, I remember going to one once, and it was, I went with a load of colleagues from the UN, quite smartly dressed. And one of them was, looked very posh. Mm. And he got absolutely hammered. The guy, you know, like the guy was just like, you've clearly never shopped in Primark. You've got a jumper round your shoulders, done up in a knot. Like, it was just, and he just laughed. He's just like, oh yeah, I'm he's hammering the way I dress or whatever. Like, it was, but that was the context. It wasn't like he'd gone.
But that's all harmless stuff though, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, for sure. But my point is, I think there's, you're more aware that that's a possibility in that context. In the context of the Oscars, now we're way more aware. I don't, you know, it'd be interesting if it happens again terms of, do they employ someone who's going to make jokes at the audience's expense? But most of the jokes get vetted before, and that was one that apparently wasn't vetted. So in my head, it was just an off the cuff. He's seen her in the front row. She's wearing green like G.I. Jane, and then she's got a shaven head, and he's just said it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
you mentioned Ricky Gervais there. Ricky Gervais, was it the Golden Globes or the Grammy? I forget now, the bloody award shows or whatever it was. Whichever, and of course, you know, and this does also help television ratings for these ceremonies. But I mean, Gervais, well,
apparently Chris Rock's tour sales have sold more in one night than
I bet they bloody have. He's had a lovely old touch there, whatever you may think of it.
Well, not really, but
poor choice of phrase, I admit. Yeah, certainly wasn't a lovely touch. Touche. But Gervais, you know, I mean, there was that line, didn't he, when he introduced the next guest who was going to, I think, you know, read out the nominees for the next award. And he said, and he was having a drink of beer. And he said, you know, I do like a drink, you know, but maybe not as much as the next man. Anyway, please welcome on stage Mel Gibson, right? Now, yeah, but you're laughing. And it was funny. And to be fair, old Mel laughed. But Gibson clearly had problems with, you know, alcohol before, and he got himself into some horrendous situations. And I understand that immediately you could say, but that's more his own fault. Whereas alopecia, you know, whatever you do, you know, you I don't know much about that condition, but I doubt very much you can, you know, you choose it or you make decisions which can lead to it, perhaps. So I understand the difference there. But perhaps had maybe
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Jada Pinkett Smith, yeah. Had she have laughed, and maybe Will Smith laughed, people still would. I'm not saying, oh, if she'd have lightened up. I don't mean that at all. But obviously the reaction sometimes can highlight the insensitive nature of a joke, you know. But it is interesting. I mean, you know, sort of getting away from the Oscars and all that kind of stuff, you know, obviously use that as a jumping off point. I mean, there are some gags. I mean, you think about some comedians, you know, Frankie Boyle's one.
Ooh, he's had quite a few, hasn't he, where people have said no.
Yeah, but I mean, I almost want to repeat them. Because he said them. Because they're example. Like, he said them, you know, he's sort of broadcast them, if you like. So
wrote
it's
them.
Not like.
He wrote them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said them on stage and he said them.
And Jimmy Carr's.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I sort of think, oh, I can't be bothered with the tweets, you know. But but I do wonder that, you know, there is a lot of chat and there has been for a number of years. And Jerry Seinfeld and Chris Rock himself have said that audiences nowadays are very quick to condemn a joke as insensitive, as sexist, as racist, and that's their words, not mine. And obviously Seinfeld, you know, he's had his anti-Semitic abuse before, and Chris Rock has had racism. And so, you know, there's often this chat, isn't there, that audiences are not as a thick-skinned or whatever as they have been in the past. But then you could easily say, well, actually, there's way more comedy now. It's our fingertips and our viewing or listening pleasure. But Chris Rock also said that he started to censor himself when performing at comedy clubs in case someone's recording him on their phone. Because again, I think, going back to something you said earlier there, Chris, I do think that if you go into a comedy club, I think that people do need to kind of relax a bit more in that surrounding.
Yeah,
I understand that there is hate speech and there will always be tension or debate on where we draw the lines up. That is just the nature of that, because these are moralistic. Well, you could argue any law's a moralistic thing, but that is something that it is more open to debate than, say, you know, obvious things like murder and burglary and stuff like that, you know. But I do think that that often these jokes, especially that Jimmy Carr one about the gypsy in the Hollywood, I actually just think it's naff.
Do you know what I mean? I just think it's funny.
Yeah, I don't think it's funny. I don't particularly get offended by it. Now, I'm obviously not a gypsy, so it's unlikely. It's less likely, should I say? I would potentially, but I just think it's. I think it's a bit naff. But I do think that many things can be funny if there's some wit involved. I do honestly think that. I think there's so many topics out there that people go, no, you can't talk about that, And I go, well, actually, if there's a witty insight to it, I think you can appreciate the gag. However, you know, it may be witty to say something, but is it wise to say something?
Yeah, and I think, have you ever come across the game Cards Against Humanity?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that's a good example of, basically, part of that game is saying things that are horrendous. I mean, we're not talking like, as we say, like deeply offensive things like racism and homophobia, that kind of thing. But things that are really like, not good.
Yeah,
things you wouldn't say to your gran.
Exactly. But the whole point of that is it does make people laugh. And there is a kind of, as you say, there can be a wit to it and a cleverness to it. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a really good distinction, Marcus, of just because it's witty, doesn't mean it's wise to say it.
Yeah. I think, but it's funny though, when you said about the Cards Against Humanity, you immediately said, obviously, if it's not, what did you say? If there's not racist and
like
sexist,
deeply offensive sort of racism, homophobia, sexism.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. But of course, years ago, that stuff was deemed like it was more relaxed. Now, I'm not saying it was better. I'm just saying that you see the cultural changes. And I think at the moment, you know, we are going through this time of, people call it culture wars. I think that's a bit of an unhelpful kind of way of putting it. I would say that there's a lot of public there's a lot of debate. Social media has amplified this, rightly or wrongly. People can get involved where perhaps they couldn't, some in a very unhelpful manner, certainly. Others people a bit more insightful, maybe. But years ago, you know, if a joke was a bit racist or it was a bit sexist, I think it was fair game. Now, my personal views are, I think we're in a better place with regards to those things.
The goalposts are shifting, and really, people are still trying to figure out where it all is. And I was thinking, Sarah, you're you're a feminist, you know, through and through, aren't you?
Aren't we all, Chris?
I'd say so.
Yeah, but Sarah can teach me a lot about stuff that I might be ignorant to be fair, as a friend, she does. Yeah. Do you think that there are unwritten rules then where Chris Rock crossed the line mocking a female, as where Ricky Gervais mocking a male, Mel Gibson, is fine? And actually, so therefore there's this whole, and Marcus and I chatted a bit before, and like friends of mine have written articles on how like that, you know, what Will Smith did is deeply unhelpful. Having to be violent to protect a woman is so archaic and sets us back. Like, I don't know, it feels quite complex because of the kind of gender issues.
Just
that are
to add something,
well.
Just add a little something onto that. You know, I read a couple of posts of people saying it was interesting. He shouts, you know, my wife, as if like he owns her. And some women had a problem with that. So often there's all sorts of things going on, all different angles and so on.
Because as Marcus was saying, like guys take the mick out of guys a lot. It's kind of what you do. Well, it's right, but it's just part of it was for me growing up and stuff. But yet it was then all of a sudden, if you're taking the mick out of someone who's, you know, not the same gender as you, it feels like, well, you might have gone a bit too far there. I know, I find that interesting.
Yeah, so I would say it's not just the gender dynamic. Obviously, that there is something there. And obviously, like, as tempting as it is to go into kind of Will Smith's actions, was that right or not? That's not what we're discussing today. But I feel like it's about, and this is a poor phrase to use, but it's the best one I can think of. You know, like punching up and punching down, right?
No pun intended. Yeah.
You know, great pun.
I was literally like, how should I phrase this? Brain's not helping me.
Don't say it.
You don't like a joke when it feels like a slap in the face, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I just think like so you know, when I started and I said, you know, making fun of health conditions, the power there is. There's more power for the healthy person than the person with the health condition.
Yeah.
You're punching down. And to me, that's where it kind of feels like it's too far.
Yeah.
So you can punch up.
So I think there's, and again, like there's stuff I just, maybe, like I don't find a lot of things funny, to be perfectly honest with you. But I think if, so for example, like a lot of female comedians will do comedy around the nightmare that men can be. And in a way that's seen as more acceptable rather than men going on about women. And that's because there's a power imbalance, right? Women have, like, I'm just talking about gender here, but there are obviously loads of different power imbalances.
I get what you're saying.
Women have always had to deal with having less power. So for me, it's sort of like when you're punching downwards, it just feels a bit cheap and a bit, as I say, I just don't find it that funny.
Well, I do agree with you there. I think it's a bit like making, I mean, Sarah, you're from Wales, you know, it's a bit like going on about Welsh people and being them being intimate with sheep, shall we say. You know, it's just a naff.
It's just like, all right.
Crappy, like, is that all you've got?
Yeah. Like you know, especially because, you know, when it's like Chris Rock, like, I would never say he's not really one of my personal favourite comedians, as I would say similar things about people like Frankie Boyle. I recognise they are very, very talented comedians, or certainly have been. But that's where I just find myself thinking, like, with Chris Rock, it's like, you've been so successful and you have been so funny. You are clearly a very intelligent man.
Yeah.
This just feels a bit beneath you. Like, come on, there's so much to be funny about.
Like, well, I do agree with you there. Whatever I may think about all that business, I do think you might be there. I mean, Chris, you said it may have been may have been, you know, off the cuff or something. I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Without sort of, but I do totally take your point that sort of be a little bit better than that. But I think, yeah, with regards to the sort of the punching up, punching down, I mean, it's a bit like if you have a comedian who's like really kind of someone like Mickey Flanagan, who's clearly like from East London or Essex or something.
Working class family.
Very working class.
Yeah.
Exactly. And can talk about, oh, and the posh people would come in and this, that, and the other. I mean, he's got way more, by the way. In fact, I can't even think of him doing stuff about posh people, to be honest. So to give him a due service. Whereas if you had quite a well-spoken posh comedian, like a Jack Whitehall or somebody, just like really ripping into the working classes. There's something quite crass about that. So I totally get your sort of punching up, punching down. And I think sometimes people might not be able to see that. They think, well, hang on a minute. If it's fair game, you kind of think, well, no. Think about dynamics and demographics and all that kind of stuff. There is actually layers to this. It's not as basic as one might suggest.
Can I give you one of my favourite public roastings? And you can tell me if they're punching equally.
Yeah.
Do you remember the 2011 Obama White House correspondence dinner where he absolutely hammered Donald Trump? Yeah.
Yep, I do. I do remember that. And I remember... Sorry, go on, Chris.
No, I was just going to say, I watched it before we came on, and it's very witty, as you said. The wit is there. Obviously, Trump has alluded to the fact that Obama wasn't American and he needed his long form birth certificate released to prove that he was.
Yeah.
Obviously they did that, but then he also made a joke about, I'm now releasing my birth video, which for those who don't know, wasn't a birth video. It was the start of The Lion King, obviously making fun that Trump had said that he was born in Africa.
Yeah.
And then he just carried on going and going and going. Obviously what you've got there is the president, the most powerful man in the world, having a go at someone, but that person he's having a go at he's also a billionaire who's gone after him as well. So I think the dynamics there are really intriguing for me. But I did watch a documentary once which said that's probably the moment Trump decided, I'm going to go for presidency and undo everything you did. So I'd say that joke probably went too far because we're all suffering it now. And the afterwards, because he really did, he was just like, that moment, he's like, I'm going to undo everything. That's why he went after Obamacare. where he went after all those things
yeah.
to undo everything he did. Took it seriously.
Totally, yeah. I mean, I think that's it. Yeah, with Obama, it was very much this guy is being ridiculous towards me, so I'll let him have it. But yeah, I mean, another comedian who can be a little bit controversial is Bill Burr. I mean, I happen to very much like the work of Bill Burr. There are times when he's incredibly close, in fact, standing on the line, I would say. But yeah, he highlighted that it is incredible that Trump took that roasting and then was like, "All right, I'll have your job off you then, big boy." Sort
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
And he did. So careful what you joke about.
Well, in a way, I'm not one to defend the Donald. However, I feel like at least his response was, okay, I'm not going to respond in the moment, but I'm going to do something about it. And I think I have a little bit more respect for that than jumping up on stage and just decking him. Would you imagine he got up and smacked him? They'd be like, all right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you put it like that. It was one hell of a response from Trump, wasn't it? I'm loath to say you have to hand it to him. I mean, you don't because of the way he went around.
Of responses, it really was the top end of it, wasn't it?
I'd argue he's gone too far there.
Everybody went too far.
That shows a deep insecurity in the man. But, you know, Sarah and I were talking about it earlier as well, and how, you know, the thing about that moment is the cameras are all trained on him and he knew.
Oh, and you could
and
see
And that's the
his
interesting
face.
Thing about the Oscars thing is, like, actually, all the cameras were trained on him and he still just kind of reacted from that as well. But the Donald didn't. He had to stay there with his stayed
Richter's grin.
He still went for it, didn't he? Yeah. What do you think of, sort of changing tack slightly, what sort of practical jokes? So we've talked more about the kind of the someone's attempt at wit crosses potential moral or insensitive kind of boundaries, and this would be the same, I suppose. But basically, like, I find that some gags, practical jokes or whatever, pranks and whatnot, like hoodwinking the public, I think can maybe go too far.
Go on,
if you see what I mean.
Intrigued.
Well, I mean, if you think about, I can't think of, so like Jackass, for example, or back in the day in this country, Trigger Happy TV, if you remember it.
Yeah.
Now, I think those shows are harmless. Don't get me wrong. But you will get the odd skit or whatever, or the odd example where, like, they've made people think they're going to die, for example.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't like that.
Maybe not in those shows. Actually.
Well, I know what you mean. I saw one online the other day where somebody dressed up like a dinosaur.
Japan was it? Was it the Far East? Yeah.
And so what they do is send a load of people running down a street with a lot of innocent people, and then
it was a dinosaur
running around the corner. Yeah, that was it. And then the dinosaur, a man in a dinosaur outfit would run around the corner and shock them, and they think it was a dinosaur in the middle of Japan. So that sort of thing. Like, that's... You know, that's
sort of
absurd
enough to, like, you know, gives you a horrible little, but it's, so, you're not actually in fear of your life.
So this
well,
is
they
a
were
joke.
For a second, which is the joke. And then they go, oh, yeah, it's a dinosaur in the middle of Japan.
But not
it
in terms
isn't
of, like,
get me.
They don't think that, like, so, oh, there was, wasn't there one, I think maybe a couple of years ago, of someone pretending that the plane was going to crash.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure, I feel like it was somewhere. Oh, it was on a TV show, maybe in somewhere like Lebanon or somewhere. It was somewhere where they literally pretended the plane was going to crash, and everyone's like screaming and crying and terrified and saying their goodbyes. Like, I don't find that funny.
No, I'm far more offended by that than any kind of hate-filled gag. I don't find that funny.
Well, you probably going to give someone PTSD, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. I just think that's nonsense. I don't think that's particularly good. I mean, so how about this? One of those stories that starts with a friend of a friend, you know. But a friend of a friend had a stag do. I think it was in Poland. And you can pay, you know, a group of large men to sort of mock kidnap the stag. But everyone else, you obviously have to go fully in. But it's kind of like these big guys, like, turn up, hoods over the heads, bundled in the back of a van, all this kind of stuff. And to me, like, if I was on holiday, you go through that. And then it's like, only joke. And it's kind of like, right, okay, so not only have you wasted a couple of hours of my time, you've made me have the worst time in my life. And now... it's not like happiness. I'm now just completely and utterly relieved that that's over. And relief in of itself can be a nice feeling, but it's not one that you should seek, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. You know? You're busting for a wee and then you finally go. Exactly, it's a nice relief.
You don't do it on purpose.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's awful.
So a good friend of mine, his dad was in the army. I assume this would be the paratroopers, although, you know, my ignorance will come through if I try and drill down on the details. But he was in the army, and they were doing the old jump out of an airplane, you know, the old parachutes and all that stuff. And the old parachutes, you know what I mean? And they stop you from dying. And and you do obviously the various security checks, and they say that if you can see like a bit of your parachute is kind of outside the pack, it means it's not going to open properly. Oh, you know, like it's a faulty one kind of thing. But obviously these are checked thoroughly, you know, calls for crying out loud. Anyway, so as it goes, you know, if you're in like your little squadron or whatever, you're in your little gaggle of army people.
Your military knowledge is really, really coming through today, Marcus.
Yeah, so there's a shoal of soldiers about to go out on the plane. And of course, if you're, you know, once they say, right, off we go, you're all in. You can't be in the middle and go, actually, hang on. And his dad and his mate were in the middle of the pack, and his mate thought, do you know what? This would be really funny if I get my white handkerchief and tuck it into his pack. And he goes, oi, and he taps him on the shoulder as they're about to go, right, off you go. And he goes, oi, have a look at that. And he looks around. So the last thing he sees is this cloth hanging out of the bag. And then off he goes, thinking, oh, crap, I'm going to now fall to my death. And of course, the parachute was fine. And when he landed, he punched his friend full on in the face. I mean, a violent response. We were talking about that earlier. So to me, I mean,
brutal.
That's funny because I'm nowhere near.
I did laugh
when
you told me.
Yeah, exactly.
So, this is more about me, I guess, than the joke. But
yeah, but you could really do without it, though. I think.
Yeah, I think for me, the whole like when's the joke gone too far?
Yeah.
In a way. Not all the time. Sometimes it depends on the receiver, doesn't it? Really,
I think you're right. Yeah.
So, like, that's what you're saying. So, like, with stag dudes and things, like that, to me sounds horrendous when people stitch up like that. Yeah. But to some lads, they love it, and they'd be disappointed if that wasn't part of the whole experience of a stag do and stuff as well. And that's where it's hard to gauge. Right? So you really should only take the mick out of people you properly know, because you should know if it goes too far.
I feel like it's a case of. If you actually think it is going to cause somebody distress, whether that is thinking they're going to die or they're going to be really, really offended, I think deliberately causing distress.
Yes.
Feels like, and like that's where, you know, you should know your audience.
Yeah. Yeah. What I wrote down on my paper before we started. Like, basically, if you're intending to cause someone, I put the word pain, but distress is a much better word for it. Then that's just mean or public bullying if it's in a big setting, actually. But if you kind of, it's meant to, I mean, that's the difference between a tragedy and a comedy, isn't it? That comedy ends, is it meant to be a happy ending in Greek literature? And actually the tragedy is a sad ending. So, you know, it's like, that is almost the difference. It needs to have some sort of happy ending. Although your friend's dad punching someone probably sound like quite a funny ending for everyone else watching.
Yeah, indeed. And he never won an Oscar straight after that to kind of get lost in that narrative.
No balm for that wound.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah. I think you're right. And I think that if there is a practical sort of joke in the public domain, and if you've ever seen like members of the public, like turn around and act really kindly or really a very helpful and a very maybe sympathetic, or they want to help. And you think, no, he's just rolling around on the ground. There's nothing wrong with him, sort of thing. And it's brought out your good nature. You think, oh, you are not taking advantage of their good nature necessarily, but you're being sort of deceitful. And a fellow human's good nature is actually almost being laughed at. If you see what I mean, I think that can be
feels mean, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I lived in a house and we had a practical jokes war. So again, it was context. So it was very much what, I mean, the people on the other side were terrible. We would put things like tea bags in the shower head so that, you know, they had they got that's covered in one, tea in the shower and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Annoying, them, but could
one
be
of them
funny.
put a rock in my friend's pillow. Not so funny.
Oh. Oh, what whacked his head on it? Like,
yeah. Were... Oh. I mean, he didn't. But it was a sort of thing of like, but in the context, we didn't get mad. Thankfully, we found it because it was like, okay, that wasn't very funny. That was quite dangerous. Let's try and kind of create some more ground rules here as well. But again, it was interesting because it was like actually within the house context, it was almost like all's kind of fair in love and war.
Yeah.
So that's for me the context thing. If there was an unexpected sort of stitch up, then that feels a bit mean.
True. Yeah. Although, like I say, I'm very happy to kind of laugh at these things if they're not happening to me. And I think, I heard a guy I've met before. He's a bit wacky, and he was going to get like a load of chickens and just when he moved in with his housemate, just like release a load of chickens in his room. Like a couple of hours before he arrived, sort of thing. Now, where you get the chickens, I understand there's some animal rights issues there, but I did find that yes, you're a wacky idiot, but that for some absurd reason didn't work me. Like I don't know if he went through with it or not, but I think that's to bring it all the way back to issues of being insensitive and so on. Like I do tend to side a little bit more with the comedians who are. Giving a bit of a warning of careful we don't get too upset by stuff. Careful you don't get too offended. I understand that is the debate at the moment. And as you say, Chris, you know, the goalposts have moved before and we're in this period of where we're trying to sort of land on certain things. I think that's always an ongoing thing.
And just one thing I would say regarding that is
they
say like, oh, we're being silenced. And I would say, I think
I wouldn't go that far.
No, but I think that has been a claim at some point. You know, I'm being cancelled, I'm being silenced. The thing I would say is, all right, you have every right to tell your offensive joke, knowing full well people are going to find it offensive.
Yeah.
But everyone else has the right to criticise you for it.
Yeah. No, yeah? I do agree. Because they often say you have a right not to be offended kind of thing. But then, but as you say, like if you do tell a joke about a section of society who are often... you know, misunderstood at best and given a very hard time at worst, then people can criticise you for that.
Yeah, like you're open to the criticism, aren't you?
Yeah, well,
for
exactly.
me, the insightful thing is actually Sarah's whole punching down thing. I think that's like, yeah, if it's a part of society which has always been punched down on, then it's just, you don't need to do it anymore.
Don't go for your low-hanging fruit, Chris.
Exactly.
No, exactly.
Exactly.
But definitely also, don't roast Donald Trump because look where that's going to end us.
Exactly. Leave him alone.
Please, please nobody do it again. Please.
So what you're saying, Sarah, is no one should ever take the piss out of Donald Trump ever again. We should take him very seriously and we should respect him. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly. I'm so glad you understood me correctly, Marcus. I'm so glad that we can have this conversation.
I knew I would get it out of you one day. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers this week. It's been an absolute pleasure. If you want to be offended and let us know that you're offended by us or not offended by us or you couldn't give a damn, whatever, then we're on social media on Twitter and Insta at AQQA Pod. We'll be back next week on the show. Until then, thank you very much, Sam.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.